the annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Episode 14, it is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm Benny Edwards.
And you're here, and you're not bruised.
I'm here, I'm alive, I'm fully, well, as fully functional as I was before.
Fantastic, mate. We will talk Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night later on in the show. Kayla Gaffer's coming in.
Special who, guest.
Fought in the second fight of the night against a 16-year-old girl. Yeah, like, yeah. That's a lot of stones at 16 to jump in the ring.
Oh, man, she's a gun 16-year-old too, mate. Yeah. I think she's got a big future.
So, and we'll announce then how much money was made on Saturday night at the big charity night, but to everyone that helped us out there, just great job.
What a night.
It was a good night, man.
It all came together, all the stress and everything evolved for everyone, it all came together very nicely.
How'd you pull up on Sunday, mate?
Not bad, just dead arms,
yep.
But at least my brain wasn't too scrambled. just a bit of muscular soreness. Yep. I hadn't actually had I was thinking back about it today, I haven't actually had like a real... hard spa where you go 100% for like 15 months since before my second Aussie title fight.
I know Brani mentioned something at the end of the fight saying, you know, he took some of your big shots and he was happy that he stood up and all that stuff. How, compared with a fight, you know, where you've, when you fought for the Australian title against Sam Hunter, was it?
Hunter Sam,
yep, sorry.
Yep.
What was the percentage of, you know, punch power compared from that fight to what you did on Saturday night?
Oh, I was going hard. Like, don't get me, I was going like pretty close to 100%, but I wasn't trying to. Usually in a fight, if I rock a guy, I'm jumping all over. I'm swarming.
And you could see that both of you a couple of times like landed a good punch, and then you'd both touch gloves to go, "Hey, good one, man, you got me."
I wobbled Brandy a couple of times, and I didn't know. I just backed off and let him. You know, I don't want anyone to no fatalities on a charity night.
No, God no. And there are a few times where you ate some leather from him as well, which was good to see.
Yeah, it was good, mate. He did well, man. It was good for both of us, mate. I got a bit of rust out.
Yeah.
Time properly in the ring. Well, even the last time I was in the ring, I only went for about a minute.
Yeah.
So that's the first time I've got some real rounds out since July last year. So last solid 15
time,
months.
Last time you fought, it was your legs that gave out, wasn't it? Didn't you?
Yeah,
your legs kicked out from under you.
Yeah. Story of my life.
How are we going to beat this bloke? Take his legs out. Yeah, there you go. Nice work. All right. Well, mate, well, that's coming up. Larry will join us from the traffic. We're going down to Melbourne this week just because I'm sure there's going to be a few upset fans after what the Raiders
Melbourne,
did to the
Melbourne.
Storm. Yeah, that's it, man. You're the first person I've known that's ever picked up on that.
Well, my mate Pete Wilson from Melbourne, I used to work for him and his two brothers.
They say ease is ace.
I'm Ben.
So they say help.
Yeah, help.
Or Al McPherson.
Help me, Ben.
Yeah, no, from
I'm in Melbourne.
Years of working in radio, when I was in production and people would come in to record ads, I could instantly pick it and I go, "You're Victorian."
Yeah.
How do you know? Because you say ease like ace.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah,
there's an accent for like...
Adelaide's got one.
I didn't really pick one up in... Western Australia, but definitely South Australia, Queensland, and Victoria. I'm sure we do probably here in Canberra as well, but they've all got their own little twangs and quirks.
Mate, I'm from Newcastle. I've had the bogan chip removed.
I've got mine thoroughly implanted from Charnwood. Man.
Yeah, actually, he says sitting here in trackies and Newcastle Knights Ugg boots. No, my chip's firmly planted, isn't it? Mate, what's coming up in Bifurama this week?
We're still in a bit of the pre-fight Conor Nate void. No one's trying to go near it because they expect the pay-per-views to go great. So got the final wrap-up on Conor and Nate, and this UFC's released some pretty cool footage and audio clips, which we're going to play a few of. We've got some very cryptic John Jones news which popped up today.
Yeah.
Yesterday and today.
Yep.
And we got some Manny Pacquiao news. He's coming out of retirement.
Yeah, that's so bizarre.
It certainly is bizarre. And also, in sort of related fight news, it's not going to be in Bifurama, but there's a Bifurama-related uppercut.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that.
All right, we'll get to that. I got a top five coming up all about your team and the footy finals. We've got listener questions, listener requests, and plenty to get through. So let's get stuck into it. Thought we'd start off the podcast tonight with a bit of Guns N' Roses.
The way we started the show.
Started the show.
The first episode we played Gunners.
No, I don't. Or maybe Sweet Child. Maybe to
when
end
he was
off.
Screaming in his wheelchair. That was episode one.
Right. That wasn't a full song. That was just a snippet of audio, Ben.
You've had too many headshots.
That wasn't a full song. But Gunners this week announced they will be touring Down Under early next year, starting February 7 in Brisbane, finishing up in Perth on the 21st of February. No, I'm not. I can't do it. I love Slash. And having seen Axel, now that he's out of the wheelchair and he's back to running around like a pork chop again, he sounds like shit.
Yeah,
he just gasses himself out and sounds horrible.
He's got to do some more training with me, so you can learn how to take a break, get your audio out, and then get back to work.
Yeah, I mean, you're 50-something now, Axel. You can slow down. The crowd would be okay with it. Because when he was sitting in the chair, Dave Grohl's throne, when he busted his ankle, he sounded pretty good.
He was putting all his energy into it.
Yeah, not getting blown out. But I don't know. He just doesn't do it for me. I'll wait till Slash comes back with Miles Kennedy out front again.
What if he gets injured?
And he's sitting
in
a chair.
He has to sit.
Yeah, I don't know. I probably still won't go. I don't think.
I
saw him in their heyday, and I'll leave it at that, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
No one will ever compare
More than happily come and go and see Slash when Miles is playing with him again, because Miles just nails every song note for note because the guy's a guru. But from Use Your Illusion 1, one of the five good songs on the two Use Your Illusions album, this is Back Off Bitch to kick off the podcast tonight. Love this drum intro. Check out these drum fills.
Back up!
Yeah, one of the decent songs off Use Your Illusion 1. It's Gunners and Back Off Bitch. It's Scotty and Ben It's Thursday when this thing comes out. Who knows when you're listening to this?
Who knows? People don't need to know the details.
No, it could be any
day. Listen to it in your own
time.
That's
old habits dying hard from the radio. Yeah. Every time you spoke, you had to tell the time and the temp.
Hey,
it's been a big change, Benny.
It's a dying art.
It's something, isn't it? I don't know. Did you watch the Raiders on Monday night?
I saw the highlights.
How good were they against the Storm?
Yeah, they're the first team in 30 years to beat the top two sides back to back.
Good on them. And their defense was sensational. I think that was the biggest surprise for a lot
defense
of people.
Defense wins games, same with fights.
So we sent Larry down to Melbourne because there's obviously a lot of upset fanboys in, you know, Lygon Street and Chapel Street.
And in Woden Hospital with my dad. He's a hardcore Storm supporter.
Your dad?
He's probably sitting in hospital with his little Storm hat on now crying.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mr. Edwards. I didn't realise he was a Storm supporter.
Hardcore, mate.
Yeah?
Very hardcore.
How did that happen?
We got Storm flags and everything up at Mum and Dad's house.
Oh, dude. Jeez, that's upsetting. Let's go to Larry.
Thanks, boys. This is Larry, your eye in the sky, with another official traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm in Melbourne this week, where the roads are just basically gridlocked all around. Monash Freeway is fucked. Tulla Freeway, fucked both ways. Ring Road is fucked. The Kingsway is also fucked. And Punt Road is extra fucked. The Hume Highway is jam-packed with the usual sea of Kenworths and blue singlets keeping Australia rolling. Good on you, boys. And finally, I suspect most of Melbourne's freeways are jammed up with sooky, whinging Storm fans after the flogging they received at the hands of the Raiders. Well, that's that. Keep your eye on the sky because no one knows where I'll turn up next week, including me. Hasta la vista, traffic fans.
Nice work, Larry. Love your work, buddy. That is sensational. We got to give that boy, find him a raise. He does such good work.
Oh, mate. He should be making millions. Millions.
So should we.
He should have a golden chopper.
Just get it plated and it'll be fine. Mate, Lang's
you know,
Auto.
You know who could plate it?
Who?
The guys at Lang's Auto.
Oh, could they?
Probably. I'm sure they could.
They do
everything else, man.
Did they gold plate the gear knob on the soccer mum van for you?
I don't know what they did, but I've been cruising around. Wobble free. Turbulence free.
Wonderful sponsors of ours here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And if you're looking for a mechanic, when you know how some mechanics you walk in and you just feel like you're going to be ripped off?
Or you feel...
You don't get that feeling at Lang's. You just don't. They've been in business for so long.
Very personable.
And, you know, the amount of cars driving around with Lang's stickers on them is true testament to how much their customers love them.
Well,
so
there's plus one soccer mom van in Charney with a Lang's Auto sticker on the back now. I'm very, very proud to represent.
Did that get you to the fight on Saturday night?
Sure did.
Yeah, nice work.
Yeah, sure did, mate. Yeah, nice. Got me there. Got me home.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it's been getting me around everywhere.
Right, okay. Because when I left you at the end of the night, you were contemplating going out. So I was wondering where
I still ended up going out.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I went out for about 2 hours. I thought, this is why I don't go out anymore. Went home.
Oh, dear. If you've got dramas with your car or you just want to find a good, honest mechanic, Lang's Auto, 44 Yass Road in Queanbeyan, go and check them out.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben.
You look like a man that's got a top five ready, mate. What do we have this week?
Mate, look at you go. Or did you just read the running sheet?
You just...
Column A, column B?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Mate, for a lot of folks who love their footy, whether it be NRL or AFL, it's an exciting time of year. If your team's in the top four, you know your final's bound. But for a lot of us, especially in the NRL, there's still a myriad of combinations that could make the eight, depending on how the results play out.
But not Newcastle.
Thanks, Ben. Yep, no, that is true. No, Newcastle are in a world of hurt.
They're in the competition for the wooden spoon.
They are. Well, no.
Or are they going to win it?
They're going to win it. I'm sure they... Actually, they'll probably lose that too. But the Raiders, they're on fire at the moment. Let's hope they can keep up the form this weekend against the Eels. But if, like me, you're living in a blinkered dreamland, still refusing to believe your team can't make the eight, maybe you support the Titans or the Warriors because they're on the precipice. They could.
They're
they
on
could
the
not.
Edge.
Hayne back. Hayne won them the game last week for the Titans.
Yeah, so numbers through the roof.
Yeah, you never know. Well, guess what, my friends? It's a time for a reality check. So let's have a listen to this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut Top 5.
It is the top five signs your footy team probably isn't going to make the semi-finals. Okay.
There's a knight on their logo. Oh,
thanks, Ben. Well, that's number six. There you go. There you go. You think I won't hit you because you're in a fight last weekend? Coming in at number five, the only way to get players to keep coming to games are snacks and free Beats by Dre headphones.
Hey, I'm in.
You know they're giving up.
I need some new headphones,
man. Know they've given up. Number four, players aren't tackling because they don't want to injure themselves so they can't bungee jump on their end of season trip.
You got to plan ahead.
Well, man, most clubs do. Yeah. I've spoken to a few of the boys in first grade. They start putting away money in round one to go on their big trips to Vegas for a couple of weeks.
Imagine how much money they'd go through over there. Oh. A Vegas trip with the boys.
Yeah, yeah. Whew. Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? It would be madness. Number three, in the top five signs your footy team probably isn't going to make the semi-finals. Your coach's name, Nathan Brown. I'm backing him though.
Do you think the problem is there that he's just too buddy buddy with the guys? There's not that junior senior relationship.
I don't think that's got anything to do with it. No, well, he's walked into a team that was built by Wayne Bennett, and half the team's already gone. So he's had no salary cap. So I don't blame Nathan Brown at all. But we're not going to get there. Number two, your team sponsor is Ventolin.
We should have them as a sponsor on the weekend.
And number one, there's the drum roll. The top five signs your footy team probably isn't going to make the semi-finals. Your team name starts with Sydney and ends in Roosters. Now, I know they're above the Knights on the ladder, but everyone hates the Roosters.
Pretty boys.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Bifferama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Well, the big UFC is on this weekend. Everyone is going to be watching that one. Benny's Bifferama. I'm looking forward to it. Let's go, son.
Yeah, mate, we've got 202. This is my final breakdown on Conor and Nate. I think I've spoken about him three or four times now.
Mate, but every commentator is talking about Conor and
it's
Nate.
It's the Conor McGregor show. Yeah, it's freaking awesome, man. So as I said before, we're still in a bit of a pre-fight Conor McGregor void. There's not a lot going on as we count down to his highly, highly anticipated rematch with Nate. It's been a huge five-month build-up, including McGregor and Nate apparently retiring due to contractual disagreements. But the fight is on, and here's some audio discussing where Conor felt he went wrong in the first fight.
I hit him and I hurt him, and I hurt him very badly many times. And I played with it too much. You gotta be very careful. If you shy away from what it is, you become timid. If you play up to it too much and you take too much energy from it, you're exerting too much energy, you become fatigued. Even in the corner between rounds, my coach John is speaking to me and I'm not even listening to him. I'm looking at the screen, I'm engaging in the energy.
Show that left hand, he's leaning to the right upper guts there. Let's pepper those legs as well, get those leg kicks, yeah?
This time I will find that middle ground and I'll go in and do my work.
So, a huge part of the story of the first fight was Nate's lack of notice and how he was still able to beat Conor.
He was still pretty fight fit though, wasn't
he? Well, they fought in March and Nate's last fight before that was in December.
Yeah.
But he was on a holiday in Cabo.
Yeah.
He came in, as he said, fat boy off the beach on 10 days notice.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was still able to get the win. But I think that win was just through, as McGregor said, he underestimated his durability and his experience.
Well, he was hitting a bigger guy than he was used to. And as he said, a lot of the shots that you see Nate Diaz wear in that first fight, blokes in featherweight would have dropped.
Absolutely. And also the thing is with Nate is he's got that, it's called the Mexican roll. And I'm not saying that because he's a Diaz.
You were doing that.
I was just eating him. My head was, I was like a piss dispenser.
I'm not going to have that finesse. You look like a big white Floyd Mayweather on Saturday night there for a while.
until the fight started. But what Nate does so well, and it's only a seasoned vet can do, is if you know you're going to get hit and you don't have an arm there or a shoulder to catch it on, you roll with the punch and it does take a lot of the energy away from the shot.
Yeah.
And that's something Nate is very good at. So coming off losing to a guy on 10 days notice, Conor has spent, he reckons he spent $300,000 on his preparation for this one.
Yeah, but he makes 10 mil a fight.
Mate, he makes 10 mil just to show up plus pay-per-view.
Yeah, so it's 300 grand's nothing.
It's closer to 20, and he can claim most of it anyway.
Yeah.
But here's a snippet of him discussing his new training tactics.
I've got a gym built up. I have homes. All my sparring partners and training partners have a home. Myself and my coaches have a home. It's an army. Go going to and from the gym. With one goal in mind. To get that win back.
So as he touched on there, he's hired a warehouse, two mansions, and multiple world-class boxing sparring partners. Tall, lanky, left-handed guy.
Yeah, which he never did.
He never did before because everyone always pulled out on him, so he never knew who he was going to fight.
Yeah.
He reckons before the last one, he didn't even spar a left-handed guy. And as I've spoken about here before and say all the time, especially having two left-handed guys fight each other, that's like it happens less than 1% of the time.
Yeah.
So it's very, very rare. So... I didn't include any audio from Nate because I'm pretty sure he's got a speech impediment.
You can't understand it. He sounds like James Rain's illegitimate love child, doesn't he?
And he's got like something in his mouth. I'm like, are you eating a lolly? Or what's going on?
I think that's just from too many punches to the
head. Yeah. I don't think he was super sharp when he was a teenager. As I said before, I think it's going to be an absolute cracker of a fight, but I still think Nate gets the finish. But I don't think Connor's stock's going to drop at all. I think Nate will stop him late, but Connor's going to do himself proud.
Okay, so you think Nate is definitely going to win this one?
I think so, mate. Yep. Full camp, size difference.
Yep.
Connor can't make up the difference between the two from a technical aspect in, 3-4 months, whatever his camps.
All right, well, I'll go on the other. I'm going to say Connor will win.
Mate, I hope I'm wrong. Mate, I love them both. As Connor said, mate, real fighters recognize real fighters, and they're both kill or be killed guys, man. So I love that. And then John Jones, he's put this thing up. Yesterday being Tuesday, whenever the date was, you can sort that out, Scotty. And so if you don't know, he got pulled from the UFC 200 main event due to a PED failure for anti-estrogens, which you have to take after a steroid cycle, blah, blah, blah. And have a listen what his little cryptic message that he released yesterday was about.
How's it going, Bones Jones supporters? If there are any of you guys still out there, just wanted to take a few seconds to say hello to you all and to give you a little update on how I've been doing. Been doing really good, been training, spending time with family, attacking some of these legal issues that I've gotten myself into, trying to really just leave that all behind once for all. I'm sure you guys are curious about what's going on with this USADA situation. Obviously, I can't get into it because it's still pending, but what I can say is that we have found out lots of really good news, and I am expecting to be back in the octagon really soon. Thank you guys for your continued support. Love you guys, and I hope you are spending this Sunday with people that you love. All right, be good, and I hope to see you guys really soon. Bye.
So that was pretty weird considering that his hearing and most likely suspension isn't even booked in yet. So my logical conclusion is he's gone from steroids to magic mushrooms and he's just lost it.
He looked pretty straight in the video.
He did. But you never know, man. He might have his poker face on. But Dana White actually said today that he might have actually taken what he tested positive for. It could have actually been an accident. Which is weird.
You accidentally took estrogen?
Well, that's
what
I'm saying.
That sounds like all the people that go into the emergency department. You know, I accidentally fell on this Matchbox toy and now it's up my ass.
Hey, we've all been there, right? Accidentally fell on this fire hydrant. It happens, man. But Dana today, like, I don't know how you accidentally induce any estrogens. Like, I said last week, you don't get them at GNC. Like, they do, especially with American supplements and stuff, they do have been known to put testosterone boosting stuff in
there. Yeah, right.
Not any estrogen. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And in the boxing world, Pacquiao's not retiring.
He's coming out.
It was billed as his retirement fight a little bit, but he never 100% committed on
it. Okay.
So he's decided that are participating in the street executions of hundreds of his fellow countrymen, drug dealers, with the Trump of the East, his best friend forever, President Duterte.
He's a nutbag, isn't he?
Mate, killing people, killing drug dealers is not stimulating enough for him, so he's coming out of retirement. And not only is his choice of opponent disappointing, it's a bit sad in my opinion, because he's taken too many shots or has blown his money, but because his supposed retirement fight against Tim Bradley was like a fairy tale finish to an absolutely brilliant career. He avenged a controversial loss in an absolutely stellar performance and seemingly walked away while still an A-plus fighter.
Yep.
He is respected ESPN boxing analyst Max Kellerman discussing the fight.
Manny Pacquiao confirmed that he will come out of retirement and fight WBO welterweight champion Jesse Vargas on November 5th in Las Vegas. Vargas is 27-1 with with 10 KOs, his only loss coming last year to Timothy Bradley. Max, what does this fight say about Manny?
Look, Manny's coming back to fight. The question is why? And where is he in his career? Terence Crawford is one of the best fighters in boxing. He's sitting right there waiting for a fight with Pacquiao. He's a very dangerous fight. That's a 50-50 type of fight. I think most boxing insiders might even favor Crawford in that one. And that's a bigger money fight than a fight against Jesse Vargas. Vargas is a harder sell than Crawford. So if you're coming back and you'd rather fight the guy that's harder to sell for the money for a pay-per-view fight than the guy that's easier to sell for the pay-per-view fight, what does that mean? It means you're just doing it for the money and you're avoiding the bigger risk at this point. Jesse Vargas is a good dude. He's a broadcaster, too. Sometimes works for HBO and a real, genuinely good dude. Like, there's a fighter we had at a meeting the other day talk about when he was a kid, when he was coming up and he was broke and he had nothing, and Jesse Vargas would give him shoes and stuff, and the fighter's wife was in the fighter meeting, and she started to cry because of, like, what a good dude Jesse Vargas is, right? Really good guy. And a good, solid fighter. He's good. He's not bad. Not a big puncher. And the kind of guy where if he beats Pacquiao, that means Pacquiao is washed as a top-level fighter. So the fact that Pacquiao chooses to fight Vargas instead of Terence Crawford can only say one thing at this point, which is that he's just fighting for the money. I know it sounds naive in a sense because it's prize fighting. They're all fighting for the money. But he's fighting as like kind of a money grab while avoiding the bigger money for the more dangerous opponent. It doesn't say good things about where he is at the moment, Steve.
So, unlike Max, I don't think it's for the money. I think it's a low-risk thrill of getting back in the spotlight. And as Max spoke on, a potential opponent in Terence Crawford as opposed to Jesse Vargas, who he picked, would be an absolutely awesome fight. Terence Crawford is the next big deal. Yeah, but
this fight would be a bit like Jeff Fennec coming out of retirement to fight a lamb. Wouldn't it?
Well,
maybe a lamb that's 5 feet tall, but maybe, a lamb nonetheless.
More or less. Like Jesse Vargas, he's no bum, but
you
know, it's a pretty safety first fight. I don't think it's not going to do anything for his career. But nevertheless, as a hardcore Manny Pacquiao fan, I'll be watching. And I hope this is his last fight, mate, because, you know, mate, you've done it all.
Mm.
You've done what people have never done before.
Yep.
What, 8 different weight divisions, world champ.
Yeah.
Mate, you got cash. You got a good job. You're friends with Duterte. You're killing drug dealers. That's living, man. So I hope this is the last one. And that's it, mate.
Beautiful.
We're still, as I said, man, there's not a lot of fight news going on at the moment.
That's all right,
everyone,
mate.
Everyone stays away from Connor.
Mate, they do. And maybe that's an edict that comes down from UFC. You never know. Just everyone shut the hell up. We're going to make this one big.
Maybe Connor told him. Listen here.
All right. Well, I think I might order it on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be watching. I'll be watching for sure.
Yeah, nice.
He's a world champion with countless belts.
Heavyweight champion!
And he's a guy who struggles to find a good fitting belt. You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Time to thank our other wonderful sponsor here on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's Ian, Lynn and the crew at the Butcher Shops, Dixon and Kayleen. Benny, you're in legit fight prep mode now, 5 weeks till your next fight.
Which means I need to go load up.
Yeah, on the protein, mate.
On the everything.
On the everything.
I just point and eat. It's the best. Even it tastes as good as it looks. Man.
Yeah, so. It does, yes. My missus had the new chicken pesto pillow that they came up with today. It's like minced chicken thighs, sun-dried tomatoes and pesto wrapped in pastry.
Mate, they're artists.
Yeah, they are, indeed.
I actually got to go there and stock up. I'm out of everything now. Yeah, so
that will happen. See, the butcher show, it's like that. You're just Moorish. It's like peanuts. You just keep eating it.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
I think if anyone from Pringles is listening, we're terribly sorry. His name is Ben Edwards. But if you want the best meat in town, folks, award-winning bacon, award-winning hams, and they're getting close to getting ready to take orders for Christmas hams again. Over 2,000 Christmas hams went out the door at the butcher
That's
shop
crazy.
last year.
I tell you what, I had a look on their website the other day. Some of the photos of the food on there is unbelievable.
It's food porn, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. And that's what it looks like in the shop too. So if you haven't been there, just go and have a look.
Yeah, even if you don't buy anything, just go in and go, wow, this is what a butcher shop should look like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. You'll find them at Dixon and Kayleen. Kayleen is open 7 days, Dixon 6 days. The Butcher Shop, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
All right, and we've got a great question this week from Justin on Facebook. It says, lads, what's the difference between a redneck and a bogan?
Well, I'll tell you what's the same is the colour of the flag. Red, white, and blue, man. Are you a bogan in Australia or you're a redneck in America? That's about it, man.
I just thought it was hats. In America, it's a big wide-brimmed hat. In Australia, it's just a reversed quicksilver hat.
I've seen some classy people strolling around Texas that I wouldn't, with a big 10-gallon hat, which I wouldn't consider them rednecks.
Nah, true, true. But, and not all bogans wear caps either, I guess.
No, not the ones they bought.
No. See,
I'm sitting here in my odd socks and you're in your slippers.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in my bloody Newcastle Knights Uggies and tracksuit pants. So I'm a bogan. And if I was born in Texas, I'd probably be a redneck.
Absolutely. That's the only difference.
Yeah. And bogans maybe listen to Cold Chisel. Rednecks probably listen to Steve Earle. I think that would be a fair assumption.
I don't mind a bit of Steve Earle, so I'm sure I've got the – is it a gene? Is it a bogan gene?
I don't know.
Is it nature or nurture?
I don't know, Benny. Well, I think
that's a deep question.
I grew up in Newcastle, and I thank my lucky stars that I left when I was 18 because I actually saw a bit more of the world, where I've got a few mates back there who I love dearly. But, man, I look at them and go, wow, that's what I would have been if I'd have never left this town. And they're great dudes and good people, but it's just – you grow up in the same area for so long, it's just very different.
You become a bit stale.
Stale. Is that what it is? So there you go. I don't know if we've answered your question, Justin, but folks, if you've got a question for us, you can hit us up. Plenty of ways to do it. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Biff and Riff, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast, and our email is uppercutpodcast@gmail.com.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round.
The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at Lang's Auto and the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. And, well, Benny, we've still got our fight montage coming up from tonight. We've had Bifarama before. Plenty of fights to talk about tonight because you brought in a special guest with you off the back of the Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy Fight Night.
I sure did. I'm going to take a little bit of credit for her performance. We did about four sessions in 3 months. And I'm pretty happy with that. She did such a great job. Kayla Gaffer.
Well, hello, Kayla. Welcome to the show.
Hi. No.
Now, Kayla, you fought second fight, I think it was, on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you fought a 16-year-old girl. like when she walked out, like I was sitting there with Stevie Payos and Stevie's going, oh, this chick's 16. I've gone, Jesus Christ. Like, there's no way I would have stepped into a boxing ring at 16.
And you trained together quite a few times in the lead up, didn't you?
Yeah, we did a fair few times. We sparred quite a bit. Yeah.
Every time Kayla's like, she's so nice. I'm like, don't worry, you'll see the red mist. Don't worry about
it. Did the red mist come up when you got your first punch?
I think in the third round. Yeah. It took me a little while kind of to get into it, but then, yeah. It was good.
Nice.
you did a seriously good job because Bridget, she's always at the gym, like rolling around. She's a jiu-jitsu player and that. Is she looking at actually fighting properly down the track, like MMA?
Yeah, she wants
like
to get into MMA. So that's why I was really good for
she's
her.
She's
going
to do pretty well because she did very well. Like her hands were pretty bloody good, mate. Yeah. She's one to keep an eye on, that's for sure.
Yeah, nice. Well, I can say now because we haven't mentioned it so far, but I had a text from Rob and from Nige from the group today. $17,000 we raised on Saturday night, which is just sensational. So, you know, with a bunch of other stuff that Nigel does through Pedal for Pierce, we'll have more than enough money to get another cough machine.
Pedal for what?
For the kid. Pedal for Pierce. So, remember young Pierce that was at the fight night last year, the little redheaded kid that was in the wheelchair that we're all. That's him. So, Nigel from the group. He's a cyclist. So they created a group called Pedal for Pierce and they raise money to help him with his treatments because he's over in America getting a new treatment for muscular dystrophy as we speak.
Well, I can help out with that as long as it's downhill.
Yeah.
No. Not much good going up.
These guys go uphill. So, like, Kayla, I've done a few sessions with Ben and stuff as well and I know he would have been telling you what to expect, but stepping into the ring, all you thought it would be, was it worse? Was it better? Was it not as scary?
It was awesome. I'm going to keep training, which is really weird. But, yeah, I'm going to keep training. And it wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. I was freaking out the night before.
Yep.
But kind of maybe just when I was backstage, I started getting really nervous.
Yep.
And then I got out there and it was fine. But I guess I had like Ben Reid and Bianca and everyone with me anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Benny was more nervous for your fight, given that your cousins, than he was for his own. And he'd trained for about 3 minutes for his fight.
Yeah, or max. Yeah. Which is about right for Ben Reid fighting.
Yeah, but even in here last week when we were recording the podcast, he was really freaking out on your behalf. So,
yeah,
there was a lot of stress levels there for Benny, I think.
Yeah, it sucks watching family fight. As I spoke about on the show like a few weeks ago when I met Pat Barry and his fiance, and I was upset when he got knocked out. I'd only known the guy for 48 hours, let alone watching a family member fight.
Yeah.
I'd have a bloody heart attack.
So. Nice one. So what sort of stuff, you saw the fight, Benny. What did you teach Kayla that you saw come to the fore?
All the good stuff. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, mate, she just got the basics right, man. Keep your balance, keep your hands up, keep your eyes open, and did all of the above.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I said, man. The worst part's before the fight starts.
Yeah.
So you did exceptional job. Yeah,
there was no shying away from either of you two. Like, because a lot of people in their first fights, they'll get a punch in the face and then they get very, very gun shy and they sort of back away and turn the head. But there was none of that.
Yeah, Kayla's got the Maltese, the firebrand blood. she plays coy, but she fires up when she has. She's actually punched me before.
Yeah, right.
We worked together at a nightclub and I said something, I thought I was being hilarious, but it turns out it was inappropriate. She smacked me on. I thought, man, this girl's got some potential. I have to start training her.
Dearie me. So, yeah, but I guess so if we do it again next year, you're going to be on the card?
Yeah,
yeah?
Definitely again.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll have 12 months of training under your belt then.
Yeah, imagine that. That'll be
interesting.
So you've organised to keep training with Bridget.
Yeah, so her coach, Dean, also she was just like, come back. So I'll probably be with them Wednesday, Thursdays, and then I'm going to keep with Bianca at Stockade like Monday, Tuesday.
So if there's a ride at the soccer, you'll be the top dog.
So you're training with Dean Tassone, are you? Dean Tassaint?
It was with him and Bridget. So she trades under him over there.
Nice. Okay. Very, very cool.
Yeah, top trainer.
Nice pedigree there.
Yeah. I caught up with Dino after the fight. It was about my first three beers of the year, world's heaviest lightweight. God knows what I said to him. I probably owe him an apology, but he's an awesome trainer.
Yeah, nice. Very, very nice. Top bloke. And anything you want to say to all the other people, Kayla? That
what about your soccer team?
Yeah.
Wanderers.
Which one?
No.
You train, what kids' soccer team do you train?
Under 12s. Div 2 at Brindabella.
Well, there you go. Yes. I'm sure they've all got probably smartphones at 12. Do you have smartphones at 12?
Oh, these days they do.
Tell them to subscribe, man.
I will tell them to subscribe. Some of the parents were there, which was awesome.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, they came along on Saturday, so it was really
would
nice.
Would have been a bit eye-opening for them. Well, that's the normally mild-mannered chick that trains our kids. And
I think they were really nervous for me. Bird. They were like, oh, are you going to be okay? And I was like, yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah, so it was good.
So I know Benny told me day after his fight with Brani, big heavy arms because he hasn't done it for a while. Any injuries, any bruises, anything?
No.
Flawless.
Yeah, I played like another 90 minutes of football the morning after.
What'd you do, Benny?
I was not much. Went to Macca's and had a 12-hour nap.
Hey, speaking of Macca's, make sure you keep listening because coming up very shortly, we do have a montage from the night and I did interview Benny between the rounds.
Hey, I'm
and
a man of my word.
Macca's gets a mention, I think, between round two and round three.
I was thinking it probably wasn't the best choice.
Anyway, that is coming up very, very soon. Kayla, thanks for coming in this week on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And if you keep training, let us know and we'll catch up with you throughout the year. And because I know we're certainly going to do this again. I know the guys from the group are like, don't talk to me about organising it for a month. It's like childbirth, you know, until you get there, you have the kid, you don't want to think about it for at least a month afterwards. But it'll be on next year. So we just got to come up with some sort of main event for next year.
Hey, I'm down.
Really? I said we should try.
I might actually train for this next one.
I said we should try and move it to out of footy season and try and get some out of season footy players.
That'd be awesome.
Going, especially you know what we hear about Jack Whiten. You know, everyone talks up Jack Whiten.
Pamali, he's Alex Leopold's cousin.
Yeah, Josh. Pamali, yeah.
So what did I say?
Pamali, I think.
Is that a fruit?
I don't know what it is, Benny.
I'm good with names, man.
Well, listen,
I'm verbally dyslexic.
You told me to be watching you this week after getting punched in the head on Saturday night, so maybe we've got some fight dementia happening this evening.
Hey, we sure do.
Kayla, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
You know, to liven things up.
Oh, mate, Boppo's been in touch with us on the Facebook, Scotty.
Yes.
What song? Does he have a song for us?
Mate, he does, yeah. Boppo, obviously, good mate of mine, singer in my band, and he loves weird stuff.
Is that his real name?
Boppo. What's his surname's Bopping. Yeah, so everyone calls him Boppo.
Very Australian.
What is Boppo? Boppo is an enigma wrapped in a T-shirt that smells like pilchards. That's what Boppo is. Thank you, Hendo, for that line. But yeah, he wants Mastodon. You know,
I thought it was an 80s metal band, but I'm Mastodon? Completely wrong.
No, no, Mastodon.
Where am I thinking of?
Man of War, maybe?
Probably.
I don't know. Who knows? But Mastodon, best song title we've ever had on the podcast. Hey. So far, this is a cracker. Octopus Has No Friends.
You can't go wrong, man.
Not with that. It's pretty heavy. Crank it up.
Drummer burned a few calories playing that song.
I reckon he did. He was a bit all over the shop, wasn't he?
I need a Gatorade just listening to it.
There you go. Mastodon and Octopus Has No Friends on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. And there was one uppercut that I saw on Saturday night, Ben, that you hit Brani Zek with, and the whole crowd at the same time all went, ooh, it was one of those moments where everyone saw it. And I think that one might have rocked Brani a little.
Yeah, I wound it up from about 3 meters away. So I was pretty surprised.
There were a few of those. You were doing the whole wine thing with your right hand, like Muhammad Ali.
Except Ali might have been a bit smoother than me in the execution. It's pretty close.
Mate, for those people that have just joined us on the podcast, you jumped into the ring on Saturday night. Your first fight in 10 months or so, coming back from injury. It was a charity fight against your mate Brani Zek, so probably not as full on as some of the fights you've been in, but a good hit out nonetheless with a real fight coming up in 5 weeks.
Yeah, we weren't. There wasn't the worst intentions on the end of the shot as well. You know, I'm friends with him. I'm friends with his family. So.
And as he said, you'll hear what Brani says coming up, because we recorded a bit of stuff on the night on the iPhone. I've cut it all together in a little bit of a montage, because you've got to have a montage. So let's have a little listen to that, and we'll come back after this.
Thanks, Scotty and Ben. It's Scotty and Ben here, coming to you live from the auditorium of the Vikings Club at Erindale. It's just after 6 o'clock. The air is thick. You can cut it with a knife. Benny, you've just walked in, mate. You're fighting Brani later on tonight. Nearly the entirety of this room is his relatives. It's going to be a hostile crowd, my friend. How are you feeling?
I'm used to hostile crowds, mate. And in fact, my best performance was in his motherland in Belgrade, when I had 2,000 Serbs screaming for my head, and that was a very good night for me. So hopefully I can repeat the same thing.
Excellent. So you think there might be a rakia at the end of this evening?
At least one.
Now, you've just caught into your fight bag, which you haven't opened for ages, and you've just pulled out some chewy, and you've gone, touch this, Scotty. It's over a year old. It feels... I actually don't know what it feels like. It feels like something from another planet, man. So it's been a while since you've been in the fight bag.
It tastes like how it feels. Yeah, it's f***ing awful. It's one step up from roadkill.
All right, so I know Benny Reed's running around like a chook with his head cut off, and he's going, I don't want to fight and organise, it's too hard. But he'll go all right.
He'll go all right, mate. He's unlike me, he's not an overthinker anyway. So all he's got to do is jump in the ring, and he'll fight the same as he always does, mate. So, and he's put in a lot of bloody effort to get this together, so I'm sure he'll pull it off, mate. He always does.
Indeed, and at the end of the day, we're here raising money for Capital Region Muscular Dystrophy. That's what it's all about. So, mate, we'll catch up through the night. I'll let you go and do your thing, and good luck against Brani.
Thank you.
All right, and I made my way over to have a chat with Brani Zek right now, responsible for filling pretty much 2/3 of this room, I think, mate. You've just been working on the pads with Nicky Boy. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit nervous, actually. It's been about 3 years since I stepped in the ring, so big nerve-wracking, obviously. Big Benny's got a big hit on him, so, you know, and he's about 23 kilos heavier than me, so just don't tell him that. I'm sure he'll hear it, but, I'm just going to go out there, have fun, you know. I tried to help out the charity as much as I can, so.
Mate, I think we've done that. There's a lot of people out there. We've done really well on the auction item. So, mate, I think the charity's the winner tonight, mate. So just go out there and have fun.
Mate, definitely. And that's what it's all about, you know. Everything here that we're doing is for the charity. And when they asked me to do it, I said, mate, not a problem at all. I'll help out as much as I can. And when they said, well, you know, you want to fight Benny? And I was like, I had to pause for a second there. And I thought, yeah, we'll be right, mate. No dramas at all. So.
Now, his soccer mum van was busted a few weeks ago, and he had it towed to our sponsors, Lang's Auto. And your sister sorted him out. Did you hear what Mira said to him?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently they said they were going to give him a discount if he didn't hurt me in the ring. But I actually said to him as a bit of a joke, I said, mate, if you knock me out, I've got about 9 tables there waiting for you out in the car park. So it's a bit of fun anyway, mate. So.
All right, mate, I'll let you get back to it. Nicky Boy, good luck.
Do as you think you, mate.
Ladies and gentlemen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing his opponent, fighting out of the red corner, weighing
Just hit him more than he hits you, all right?
More haymakers.
Second round to come. I think we can all be impressed by Benny saying more haymakers.
Good sportsmanship too, Rob. They both land a good shot, then they tap gloves and give each other a smile.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, if I'd managed to hit Ben Edwards, I'd want to say sorry and smile too.
All right, we're waiting for round three, Benny. What do we say this time?
Less Maccas, more training for the next one.
That's in the third round, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you travelling, son? One round to go.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad, mate. Forgot how energy sapping the whole thing was.
Mate, you can... it's good. Good sportsmanship between you two. Mate, have fun for final round.
I will.
Couple of things to take out of that. How good does Stevie Payos sound?
Ah, silky smooth. Silky smooth.
What do you call you? The King of Charnwood, did
the
he?
The King of Charnwood.
Did he
man.
Okay that with you, or was he that sure just him did. Riffing?
You just got to own it, mate.
Yeah.
If you're from Charnwood, just own it.
Because I called him the Macedonian James Bond in front of the crowd, and I got a few giggles. I don't know if Stevie was too impressed with me, though. We'll find out next week because he's going to come back and join us on the
it.
Show.
He would have loved yeah. it, Dan.
But no, he did a great job the other night. Everyone involved with the charity night did a great job. And as we heard from Kayla earlier on in the night, $17,000 raised, which will buy another cough
that?
Machine for the kids with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And that's the hard thing with muscular dystrophy. There's about 8 different types of it. And every single type is completely different.
Yeah.
So that's what makes this disease so tough and why we're so passionate about helping this cause.
Yeah, well, it's hard. I'm sure most people have heard of muscular dystrophy, but to realise all the 8 individual ones, it's hard to raise money for 8 separate things under the same name. So
yeah, that's right.
Happy to help out.
Nice work. And, mate, your in-ring stuff, because I was at you all week going, come on, can we do stuff? And you're like, yeah, so... We didn't get too many words out of you, but what we got was quality.
Hey, I'm a man of my word.
More haymakers, less Maccas, more training, and so we'll be right.
That's words to live by. Yeah.
It was so funny because I think when I first walked up with the camera, who was the girl that was in your corner?
Bianca.
With Bianca.
Yeah.
So, like, I've walked up, Bianca's kind of looked me up and down going, what are you doing with a phone here, you dickhead? And then when you spoke to me, she was like, oh. And then when you got ready for round 4, she thought there were only 3 rounds. And so she's going, what's he doing? I went, round 4. Oh, okay. And, I think a few people got a bit of a giggle out of your banter the other night.
Yeah, so good. Oh, man of my word. I said I'd do it. I did. I probably wouldn't do it in a real fight. But
no, God, no.
But no, it was good, man. Who says guys can't multitask, eh? That's not a bad effort.
Not at all. Well, I thought we would play a song to wrap up the muscular dystrophy fight night. And you've got to play this song,
don't
you?
It's a timeless classic.
Oh, it's a sensational tune. A little bit of Survivor. We'll be right back. Love that song. What a classic song to wrap up the podcast this week. And Eye of the Tiger from Survivor. Benny, I just showed you. Survivor came out of retirement for a Starbucks ad in the States a couple of years ago where they reworked their own song about a guy called Glenn.
They pumped me up, man.
It's awesome. I'm going to stick that up on our Facebook page so people can check it out. I need a
double shot coffee.
That was a great ad, that one. So absolutely sensational. And I know it's one of those songs that you hear when you go to multi-fight nights. You hear it at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, it's been played to death.
Yeah.
But if you give it a few months in between,
it's okay.
The lyrics never get old, man.
No, not at all. Not at all. Have you seen the meme going around Facebook? There's a meme going around at the moment, and it's a tiger being operated on. Like in a zoo, and the vet is looking into the tiger's eye, and one of the assistants says, "What do you see, doctor?" And then she just repeats the lyrics. It is absolutely sensational. Yeah, it's gold. I'll send it to you. It's gold. Now, mate, you've been sitting on uppercut of the week. You've been emailing me going, "I've got an uppercut," and you won't tell me. And then
a big one, man.
A big one? Okay. Man,
my name is Lenny, director, Ron Scapello. See, my nickname's the governor, and this is Lenny McLean, who was the original governor.
He was a bare-knuckle boxer, wasn't he?
Mate, he was a bare-knuckle boxer, standover man, notorious street fighter. He's a legend in the UK. He was also Barry the Baptist in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
There's footage of this guy in a fight on YouTube, isn't he, where a guy headbutts him?
Roy Shaw.
And he just goes ape shit.
He just eats it. He just eats it. All my mates reckon that's what I'm going to look like in 30 years. So they're doing a biopic on him. Yep. It looks bloody awesome. So they even hired an Aussie to play the guy. The Aussie even looks like me. He's in my profile picture. Everyone thinks it's me. It's this other guy they hired. So they hired an Aussie to play my movie, man.
Yeah, but he's probably an actor, Ben.
I was in a movie with Billy freaking Zane.
Yeah, no, you were. Okay, do you know what? I'm going to sit corrected.
And I had four words.
What were your words in that movie?
Have the might. So I wasn't even four. It was three words. I interrupted Billy Zane. Zane was pumping us up. I was one of his henchmen. And he's like, he was talking, he was putting down the other soldiers. And he's like, you guys, and I cut in. And he goes, you guys don't, and I cut in. Have the might.
Ah, right, okay.
Shit, so.
How many takes did you do with that one line? Two takes.
Yeah, I didn't cut him off quick enough the first time.
Yeah, okay.
So it was pretty cool. So, but all I got to know is Ron, where was my bloody phone call, man? Not only have I been playing the governor, I've been living the governor life for 12 years, man. Who can play the governor better than me, man? Like, the guy sort of looks like me, but he's a little dude, man. Lenny McLean was like a big tough big dude, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me.
This is the same argument I have. Well, you've never read a Jack Reacher book, have you, Benny? The character Jack Reacher, written by Lee Child. Yeah, well, he's an ex-army.
Cruise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tom Cruise plays him, right? Tom Cruise is a Muppet. We all know that. And he's 2'7". I met Tom Cruise in Sydney, and the guy's a midget, right? Jack Reacher in every book is described as 6'5", 220 pound, and fists like turkeys, fists like frozen turkeys.
So the opposite of Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and it just doesn't work for me. So I feel your pain, brother.
It doesn't work, man. So here's a proper governor uppercut for you, Ron.
Actually, let's give him another one.
Have another one.
Oh, that was sensational. Yeah, nice work.
Cop that, Ron.
Yeah, yeah, all right. I'm going to lend you a Jack Reacher book so you can read it and be as angry as me about Tom Cruise, okay?
I'm already pretty angry about Tom Cruise.
There you
Except
go.
For The Last Samurai.
Oh, that was a good movie.
He hasn't done shit since Top Gun, man. Get over it.
All right, well, we are done. Next week on the show, Stevie P will be back in the hizzy with us, which will be a lot of fun.
It always is.
Apparently, last time he was here, the missus was up in bed with the Staffy puppy Slash, and every time we laughed, he barked and flipped out. So there's going to be a lot of dog barking up the other end of our house next week.
Payos has the loudest laugh.
Payos is just the loudest man I've ever met. Honestly, that first State of Origin game this year where I said to you and him, oh, listen, guys, I get pretty loud during the footy. He blew me out of the water.
Mate, he's one of a kind, and he doesn't really need a microphone to announce the fights.
No, and that was the thing the other night. His mic kept feeding back during the first two fights, and he's like, oh, man, and I'm like, dude, just pull it away and talk a bit softer. You'll be fine.
Just be yourself.
We got it sorted. Anyway, thanks for listening in, folks. Don't forget to share this around. If you've downloaded it on Podomatic or iTunes, let's bring some more people into the fold and get some more downloads, huh?
Bring it in, folks. Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed write. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan
and The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.